Lake Effect continues on Milwaukee Public Radio now. I'm Mitch Teich.
And I'm Bonnie North. That's the sound most Milwaukeeans associate with drummer Victor DiLorenzo. He was one of the founding members of the Violent Femmes, one of Milwaukee's most recognized bands.
But DiLorenzo is exploring other kinds of music now. He and Milwaukee cellist and composer Janet Schiff are part of a band called 1913. There is a third member, another drummer called Nez, but the duo, cello and percussion, forms the nucleus of the band.
1913 plays Sunday afternoon at 5 on the Cathedral Square stage for Bastille Days, but they joined us in the studio first. Here they are with an original tune called Bagpipes. That was 1913 performing in Lake Effect's performance studio. That is a tune called Bagpipes. And I want to welcome 1913 in the studio, Victor DiLorenzo and Janet Schiff. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
It's nice to be here, Bonnie, especially after all this time of hearing your voice and never being able to see your lovely face.
Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And I was going to say, you know, I could say the same thing about hearing you and first time we've met. So
yes.
this is terrific. But tell me about 1913. This is a new project for both of you.
Well, we'll start with why it's called 1913. My cello was made in Romania in the year 1913. And someone put forth a challenge to me by saying the cello can never accompany itself. So it'll never succeed like the piano. So I found a way to finally accompany myself with the looping pedal, also known as a phrase sampler, and never wanted to be a one-man band with that, and so had the idea to add percussion because as a soloist, my rhythm was challenged. So I had this idea to add percussion, and which helped me and my looping, actually.
And so how do you guys know each other?
I had met Janet some years back through the improvisational music scene. We had been on a few dates together playing some improvisational music with other musicians that we know. And then one early evening out of the blue about four and a half years ago, Janet called me and said that she had a show that evening. Would I like to come and sit in with her? So I said, sure, I'll come. What should I bring? And she said, well, why don't you bring just a little compact setup. So I brought what you see behind me here, a snare drum, a floor tom, and one cymbal. And when I got there, I found Janet with her amplifier and then also another drummer. He was playing a full drum set. So I just had my skeleton drum set. He had the full drum set. And we started to play along with Janet. We didn't know any of the material. As a matter of fact, I didn't even find out until after the gig that the other drummer had never played with Janet either. So it was a really an instant awareness, instant karma, have you, for both of us playing that particular evening with Janet. But it led to where we are now.
I call that spontaneous composition.
Mm-hmm. Right. And you are the composer of the songs that we're hearing today.
Yes, indeed.
When you compose like what we just heard, Bagpipes, is that something that you sit down and actually write out compositionally, or is it something that you're just sort of improvising and then kind of work it out?
I could write it down, but most often a tune will just pop into my head, or I'll wake up and there'll be a song in my head, or I'll put my hands on my cello or my piano and a new sound comes to me, a new rhythm or harmonies, melodies. So, and then I build upon that. And all of these pieces can be played without the looping pedals, but it would be linear then. And what we've done is we've been able to create layers of cellos. So it's more of an orchestral effect.
Yeah, it's exactly that. All of a sudden there's like five people playing, it sounds like.
Thank you.
Right.
That's my goal.
And the looping, talk a little bit, because people can't see it sitting. I can see it sitting in front. The looping pedal, you've actually got about six pedals there, right? And so there's all kinds of effects you can do with that.
Right. And this is a new piece of equipment for me. I've had this one for less than 6 months. And so I'm still getting to know it. But basically, there's a record and a play button. And I record into the machine. And then when I want to hear it back and play on top of that, I will press the stop and the play button, and I can build an orchestra of cellos that way.
And you're doing it on the fly.
Right.
I mean, I was watching you do
it has,
that.
It has the capabilities to store loops, and a lot of people ask me, hey, are you coming to this performance with these programmed in here? And no, I'm a purist that way, where I really feel it's important for us to build them live as an experience for both us and the listeners.
So talk about then the rehearsal process for you guys. How do you then build the arrangement of the song?
I usually come up with a bass line and then have Victor play along and see what he can come up with for his part.
And then sometimes during the course of rehearsal, a lot of it is very intuitive what we do, but we do have discussions from time to time, especially when we incorporate our third member, Nez, and he plays more of a traditional drum set with mallets most of the time, and I'm utilizing hot rods, which are a fancy kind of a drumstick, and then also I use brushes a lot, which is what I'm kind of known for, my brush playing. So between the three of us, we just hash out an arrangement, and then things come to life a little bit more when we perform live in front of an audience, because the nice thing about Janet's writing is it's very modular, so we can take liberties with the different sections. Sometimes they can be shorter, sometimes longer. The dynamic can be a little bit softer, maybe a lot louder. All these things come into play in a very malleable way, so we don't really have too much that we do just by rote.
Right. I was going to say, it sounds very improvisatory going back to the way you first got together,
right?
Even though that there's a structure underneath it.
There's usually a structure, that's for sure. Sometimes I'll get inspired for the compositions, even through nature. I'll hear something as I'm taking a walk, and I'll remember it and start building upon that for a new song. For my compositions, I'll draw from numerous sources.
Basically being open to everything.
Right. Yeah. And we do some cover tunes also. We can play Kraftwerk. We've done a Bjork song.
I was going to say, Kraftwerk would be perfect. I mean, that's a perfect thing for you guys.
Very modular.
Yes. Yeah.
And then we also do things like Ravel's Bolero.
You talk about covers, and that leads me to Summertime, and it leads me to ask you how this came to be. We're going to hear the full version of this with bandmates who aren't here right now, but where did this come about? And I understand that this was really kind of what brought you together now.
Well, if I may, about 2 years ago, I was listening to some records over at Janet's apartment, and out of the blue she said, would you like to hear some recordings that my grandmother made? And I wasn't aware that her grandmother was a musician or even if there were any recordings that existed. Janet said, let's listen to this CD I have of a tape that my father had made of her grandmother in 1961, playing a bunch of instrumental versions of different pieces. And so we got to the piece Summertime. I was listening to it. And I started to get this idea that, wow, we could maybe take this recording, since it was just an instrumental version of the beautiful Gershwin song, and build a whole vocal arrangement around that recording. It got to be kind of a sticking point with me, where every once in a while I'd say to Janet, Janet, are you ever going to get me a copy of that version of Summertime? Because I'd really like to think about expanding this. And finally, she did. And then we got into the studio with our dear friend Steve Hamilton, who runs a fittingly called studio here in Milwaukee, Making Sausage Music.
Oh, I love it.
So we went over to Steve's place, and Steve helped us flesh it out.
Before we hear it, tell me about your grandmother and why this particular thing is so special.
Well, my grandmother was born in 1898 and was one of the first women ever to have a college education and a degree in music.
Here in Wisconsin? Or?
I believe she finally graduated from California, but either way, it's just that she had a degree in 1920, was
in music performance.
Yes. And,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. So my grandmother was the first person on TV in Milwaukee when Milwaukee got TV. Before that, there was some sort of voting that went on. What entertainer would you like to see? She used to play silent movies. She used to play vaudeville. And
she also entertained the troops down at the naval base.
She did some USO work. Mm-hmm. And she also played in Milwaukee streetcars theaters.
So she was a working musician.
She was. And she would winter in the Bahamas sometimes. And she would travel with her piano, would go up to the North Woods when she would have a performance up there. This was before the days of digital pianos.
And so this was just something that your father recorded. The version of Summertime is just, she was just noodling around? Or?
Right. Yeah. December 28th, 1961 on Newton Avenue in Shorewood. I live two blocks from there now, but he had a Wallensack home recorder, and it was a reel-to-reel. And then in the late 90s, he had it turned to digital. And so I had a CD. I have a CD of 33 songs that she performed that day with my father.
How wonderful.
You can hear the dog barking and the mailman shows up and the doorbell, and it's amazing.
And for me, I was just so jazzed about the idea of Janet finally being able to play with her grandmother after all these years. And in that regard, not only was it a wonderful occasion for you and for her, but I really believe that this particular recording is haunted in many ways. And I mean that in the best possible way of a haunting elegance. There's a spirit to her playing that I think really comes out of the 40s and 50s. And when you blend that with modern players, there's a kind of a schism there that opens it up for just kind of a spooky feeling in the piece of music.
That was a version of Summertime performed by 1913 along with some guest artists, including Janet's late grandmother, Marguerite. Do I have the name right?
Marguerite,
yeah.
Chef.
And she was the organ. That was the organ that you hear in that. Now that you've done this, are you going to do more recordings like this? Is there any idea that you'll take some of those other recordings that she had and try to do a similar thing? Or was this a one-off?
Well, I think it's probably a one-off. even though we have discussed the idea of maybe taking her recordings and cleaning them up and releasing them as is, maybe in the EP form or maybe even a long playing recording. But right now, I think as far as entertaining ghosts, we're probably done with that for now.
We need to focus on our full-length LP.
Which is what we're going to be working on next. Janet has a lot of the material written, and we've already started recording, as a matter of fact, but probably we'll get the bulk of the recording done in late summer going into fall with looking at a release of maybe sometime early next year.
Okay, and that's the two of you. Do you have guest artists on this?
Oh, yes,
yeah. Definitely.
We will. And the working title that we refer to this recording is Neverwood. Yeah, it'll be a pseudo, I don't even want to put a highfalutin title of opera on it, but it will have some kind of an indigenous story.
A through line of some
yes,
kind.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. And so is the idea is to make this full time?
That is the hopefully the final result. We've dedicated our lives to it now after having kind of toyed around with it on a part-time basis for the past 4 years. But we've been very inspired by the reaction of people and critics. I mean, I suppose critics are people as well.
Well, but people might argue about that.
That's true, depending on who you talk with. But we love the reaction that we get from people when they hear us. And as I had mentioned to you when we were setting up, Bonnie, a lot of people come and they look at our setup, and whether it's just Janet and I performing as the compact version of 1913 or a more extended version with other musicians, they look at it and they go, oh my God, two drum sets, a little amplifier and a cello? Is this going to work? What is this going to sound like?
What am I going to hear?
Right. Yeah. But I think people are very, very pleasantly surprised when they hear it. Not only that, there's a dexterity to the music, but also there's a very innovative feel and sound to what we do.
Are you going to be composing as well?
Well, I mean, that is a possibility. I am a singer-songwriter, and I have 4 different albums to my own credit. But I think for right now, Janet is probably the best writer for her cello.
And for this particular group.
Yes.
Yeah.
So my work... my part of the responsibility is as a producer to interpret what Janet comes up with.
And Bonnie, one of our main goals is to get our music into movies, because people over and over come to us and say, that was so cinematic. I had images and scenes throughout my life flashing in front of me as I listened to your songs. And they really are coming from my experience, which are sometimes it's visual, sometimes it's emotional. And so if there's a way to commercialize that, we're open to any kind of performance opportunity, whether it's live or recorded.
One of our tentative ideas is to go out to California maybe in fall and do some more recording with Rob Wasserman. He lives in Los Angeles. And it's really funny because when you hear the bass that's on the track, Summertime, that was recorded in Los Angeles at a studio called Winslow Court. The engineer was Craig Parker Adams. And the interesting fact about his studio is that it was set up in 1922 as a scoring facility for film, and that was also an early Foley studio to do sound effect work for film. But at one point, the studio was sold from its original owner, and who buys it? Here's the other Milwaukee connection, Liberace.
Wow.
And I had said to Janet a few different times, and her father, I'm sure in Marguerite's travels, she had to come across Liberace, and maybe they even played some shows together because they were on that scene at the same time.
Right. There has to.
Yeah.
There has to be some connection there somewhere. And I was also thinking, you know, not only making recordings, but if you ever wanted to play live for a silent film, I'm thinking Alloy Orchestra out of Boston, you know, that's what they do. And it's a brilliant thing to have that live performance with a film. Mm-hmm. You're having to react to the film, and we get to hear that in the way that you perform. I think you guys would be fantastic for that.
Yeah, that would be a nice challenge for us.
So you just have to find a silent film that you like.
That's right.
And then so that'll be something else. Well, I hope that you will both come back, and maybe with somebody else in the band, or if you've got guest artists in town. But when the album is finished, will you please come back and share some of it with us?
It's a date.
All right.
You bet, Bonnie.
Thank you so much, both of you, for coming in.
Thank you.
Oh, before we go, though, tell me what we're going to go out with.
This is Tango Obscura by 1913.
1913 is cellist Janet Schiff and drummer Victor DiLorenzo. The third member of the band, Nez, will join them on stage this Sunday afternoon at 5 on the Cathedral Square stage at Bastille Days. There is a link to more information plus the audio file of Janet's grandmother playing Summertime at WUWM.com.